Do you want to come up or rearrange a little bit?
Okay. Yeah. Wait, is it recording? Wait, I thought it was recording.
This week we're covering message 4 in the Bible Visualization Study of Exodus. Could we read the title together? If anyone doesn't have it, try to share with, get next to someone who has it. So. Okay, hallelujah. Okay, let's read the title.
Amen.
The intrinsic significance, subjective experience, and organic maintenance of the golden lampstand for a new revival. Okay, can we say that one more time? Intrinsic significance, subjective experience, and organic maintenance of the golden lampstand for a new revival. Okay, so this week we're talking about the lampstand, which I think a couple months ago we were going in the life study messages, and we also covered the topic of the lampstand. But I think we're here, it's in a little different light, and actually we see it. Actually, it's really awesome. So, could we read the verses on day one? I think it's Exodus 25 and then Revelation. So, just whenever you get to it, maybe we could read it.
Exodus 25:31.
Yeah.
And you shall
make a lampstand of pure gold. The lampstand with its base and its shaft shall be made of beaten work. Its cups, its calyxes, and its blossom buds shall be of one piece with it.
And then Revelation 4:5.
And there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God.
Amen. Seven spirits. Okay. Yeah, so we see here. Here's a picture. And actually, let's just read Roman numeral 1.
In
order
to enter into a new revival, we need to see the supereminent Christ according to the highest peak of the divine revelation. Know the all-inclusive Christ for a God-man living, and minister the unsearchably rich Christ to others in shepherding them for the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the city of God, the wife of the Lamb.
Amen. So I'm not sure if anyone kind of got this, but actually, in this point, it's really the title, just in reverse a little. So in order to enter into a new revival, so we need to see the supereminent Christ, which is referring to seeing the intrinsic significance here of the lampstand. We need to know the all-inclusive Christ for a God-man living, which is relating to our experiencing the Lord. And then also we need to minister him in shepherding others for the building up of the body of Christ in order to get the new Jerusalem. So that's like the organic shepherding. Organic maintenance. But all of this is for a new revival. And so, just very briefly, you know, in Exodus 25, there's a lampstand. And it's made of gold. There's a very detailed picture in Exodus of what the lampstand is. It's so detailed. But what we're talking about here is not the picture of the lampstand. Because a brother shared on Friday, the Jewish people are really like the lampstand. Actually, it's the most popular symbol, I think, of probably that and the Star of David. But that's just the symbol. That's just a lamp shining. But actually, this is talking about the intrinsic significance. So we know in the New Testament, actually in Zechariah, there's another lampstand. And there it's talking about the Spirit. It says, not by power, but by my Spirit. Amen. And so it's referring to the intensified Spirit of Christ. But then our Revelation, actually, we see the lampstand again. And then it's not one lampstand, but it's seven lampstands. And actually, you know, in the Word it says these lampstands are the seven churches.
Amen.
And actually, there's a relation. The seven lampstands are the seven churches, which are the seven spirits of God. You know, it's all related in this really pretty much all-inclusive picture. And so what we have here, I don't know. This week was so rich. I don't know. Yeah, praise the Lord. Okay. Even just this picture, you know? There's one lampstand. Actually, this lampstand is all gold. There's nothing else in it. There's no mixture. There's no other nature. Actually, this is like God's divine nature. So the lampstand is pure of gold, and then it's in the shape of something, which signifies there's a shape there, which is, you know, we know Christ is the embodiment of God. And then also, there's the shining there, which is like the shining of the Holy Spirit. So just in this lampstand in Exodus, we see a picture of the triune God being expressed. Okay, but what do we see in Revelation? It's not the triune, it's not just the triune God. It's the triune God expressed in the churches.
Amen.
That's God's economy.
Amen.
That's the high peak of the divine revelation. Amen. That's God coming into man and expressing himself.
Amen.
It's like, that's awesome.
Amen.
That's really awesome. And actually, it's, you know, these lampstands, they're just like the original lampstand.
Amen.
They're exactly the same. They're a duplication.
That's right.
Actually, you know, I think it says somewhere the Spirit is replicating himself in the churches. Because actually, they're a direct reprint. And so it's like the churches are just a reprint of the Spirit. And this, you know, it looks the same as this original lampstand.
Amen.
So this is really awesome. And this is kind of what the... Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
So that's one thing. That's this intrinsic significance. But then there's these other two points, which I really don't have time to get into, and I hope everyone else will. We have this related to the subjective experience. So there's a lot of descriptions. It talks about how you make the lampstand, about what it's made of, how much it's made of, you know? There's lots of different attributes. And then you see the Lord. Actually, the Lord is caring for the lampstand.
Amen.
The Lord is taking care. He's even walking in the midst of the lampstands.
Yes.
It's like, what type of picture is that? It's awesome. And so we really see this. We see this picture of. I really think it's an all inclusive picture, in a sense, you know.
Amen.
And then what I appreciated, just last thing I'll share. So we need to experience all these different aspects. And also, we need to be in the organic maintenance.
Amen.
I think essentially we need to be in the churches, because that's where the Lord is walking about.
Amen.
That's where the Lord is doing the maintenance.
Amen.
I appreciate this is for a new revival. And I kind of had this realization. It's, you know, whenever a group of people see something and then enter, like when they see something, it has a change in their living. And it results in something outward. You know, there's a revival. There's a renewal. There's a really progression. There's a recovery there. And so in a sense, what we're talking about here, you know, it's, you know, we know this. We know, oh, the lampstand is the seven churches. But actually, this isn't just for us to know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
In a sense, yeah, we want to experience, but we really need to see this. I appreciate it. Roman numeral 2. It says we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation to understand the intrinsic significance.
Right.
Because once we see this, we'll automatically enter into these things, and that will issue us into a new revival.
Amen.
So, praise the Lord. Really, let's hallelujah. This is just a really wonderful topic, so
I'm
really excited that we can be here to get into this.
Amen.
So I think we'll open it up for all the saints to share.
Amen.
So I really like the word intrinsic. I thought it was this in our Friday group. Someone asked the question, "What is intrinsic?" And you know, you kind of throw that term around in the ministry quite often. But to really think, all right, let's really get into this word a little bit and understand what we're talking about. So it left a different impression because I went throughout the week. I re-listened to the message, but just thinking about one word was quite meaningful to me in that, you know, I can read all these and it's really logical that this lampstand, you know, is made of gold. Okay, I got that. You know, it's shining. That's the Spirit. Got that. You know, the mold of it is the expression of Christ. You know, logically this all makes sense. But what to really understand it intrinsically means we really have to experience it. And if we experience this will automatically bring us into this new revival. And in the message, he actually said that hopefully this will be the final revival. if we really intrinsically know these things, but not know it mentally, but know it in our spirit, then this will usher us into this new and final revival. Amen. And regarding that, I was touched this week with the matter of trimming the wicks. But a lot of times, you know, we go through trimming. In the message, I thought of Esther and Shepherd because it talked about the beating also of the work. They have these little kids and these little hammers beating you into this shape. So we're all getting this beating work by one another, but also the trimming, sometimes you don't like it. But you think it's like a personal thing because we always think personally. But, you know, really this trimming work is not just for us personally, but it's for these lampstands. You know, as the church in Piscataway, we're corporately, we are this lampstand. And, you know, the only way that we can be beaten into the right shape, but also to be shining, these wicks need to be trimmed. That I was just touched, you know, when we interact with one another, there's going to be a little trimming sometimes. We're going to not always find everything so pleasant. But really, we have to see that this is the Lord's doing. This is allowing us to shine brighter. This is allowing us to become this beaten work. This is allowing us to really express Christ so that we could really enter into the intrinsic significance of this lampstand. So I was just was really touched this week that by the shepherding and by with each other, sometimes it's not always so pleasant, but it's really for the ultimate goal is for the Lord working out himself in us.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I really enjoyed our time covering this outline in the home meeting. It was so good. In our small group, we looked primarily at Roman numeral 3. And what really touched me was point under A, 2. It says, mixture in our Christian life brings in darkness. But when our Christian life is purified through the divine nature, we have light. So I just enjoyed that. Actually, Brother Kyle in our group shared that if the lampstand was not a beaten work, then it would automatically have brought in mixture. And he told us that his father is actually a goldsmith. And so he was sharing with us how if you want to make something from gold, you have to use one piece and then beat it into a certain shape. But let's say you wanted to add another piece to it. Like the only way, he was saying, like you have to create a certain wedge shape on one piece and the other piece fits in. But you actually have to add some other kind of metal to glue it in.
Wow.
So if it wasn't a one beaten work, then you would have had to automatically add some other kind of gluing substance, and it would have made it an alloy with a mixture. And so he said, actually, the only way to have it something made of pure gold is if you just shape the one piece of gold. Mm-hmm. And so that really touched me because it shows us that actually it's the beating that keeps the lampstand pure. Like, only through the sufferings and having the fellowship of the suffering of Christ, actually that suffering purifies the church. Yeah. And so I enjoyed in one of the life study messages in Exodus, it was talking about how a lot of times the church may suffer a lot of persecution, but actually that persecution, the Lord uses it to purify the church.
Wow.
So that's something I really enjoyed, and that applies to the church corporately, but it can also apply to us spiritually in our own personal lives. But that this beating, it purifies, but it also issues in a certain shape. So in Galatians 4:19, it says, my children, with whom I travail again in birth until Christ is formed in you.
Amen.
So it's just touched this week that all of us have a certain deposit of gold already in us, and we have a deposit of Christ. But this deposit needs to be formed. Like, Christ needs to be formed in us. He needs to take a certain shape within us. He needs to have a certain expression within us.
Amen.
And that this lampstand, I agree with Scott, it's like, it's such an all-inclusive example. There's so many details in the lampstand. Roman numeral 3, it says that we subjectively experience the details, aspects of the golden lampstand, the God-man living, showing that actually every detail of the golden lampstand is actually the God-man living, which is crazy. Like, I don't know who could have seen that, but it's just really interesting to see that actually all of these little details show us how our God-man living should be.
Yeah.
There should be a certain expression, a certain form, not just gold deposited within your being, but that you need to go through certain sufferings to be purified, to have a certain pure expression of the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. I also very touched by the day 5 of this week's message, and I want to read a little paragraph for you.
Amen.
Yeah, the tongues and the fire pens for trimming the charred wick signify the dealing with the old and charred natural life, so that the shining of the resurrection life may be bright and pure. I think in our daily life, we really need to do this in a daily basis, because if we don't, you know, trim our charred, you know, the wick, our natural, you know, life only produce smoke. And will, you know, stumble other people, not like, you know, shining like a lampstand. Yeah. So we need to do it in a daily basis, and by reading the holy words, and by praying to the Lord in a regular basis, and by also by how to see the pray with your companions. These ways, you know, we can trim our natural life, and we can shine like a lampstand.
Yeah.
And every time we should, you know, we shouldn't blame the surroundings, like the people and like the environments around us, because everything is out of Lord. Everything is for Lord's sovereignty. We have these people around us. The purpose is to trim us, to cut off our old life, and we can be resurrected, and we have you know, resurrection life, and we can shine like a lampstand.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We have to be very thankful that we're not as beat up as some of the brothers and sisters in the Middle East. You know, they've been persecuted and really beat up. I don't know how much that you've been beat up. I don't know, John, how much you've been beat up. You're still young compared to me. You know? But you're going to get your share more. But we have to be thankful for what really the Lord is doing. And we still have, even though we're here. That what reminds me really is this week is of the... But Daniel, remember Daniel when the Nebuchadnezzar made the image and he forced everybody to bow down on the image, and Daniel's friend, the three of them did not want to do it, and he threw them in the furnace of fire, and then Nebuchadnezzar, he said, look at the three of them and somebody in the mist walking between them. To me, typify the church, the local churches. And then Jesus walked in the midst, and he praised the Lord. That was hourly, probably, right? Hourly, he praised the Lord in the midst. But this is what this showed me, that the Lord is in the midst of all the churches in the world. There are many different ministries, right? But the Lord is walking in the midst of all the churches. But in order for us really to mature, you know, even though we're not beat up like some of the brothers who are persecuted, or a brother that just... they don't even have food to eat in the Middle East, and we're hoping and all of that. Maybe the beating with us had to be in our pride, because we accomplished something. We're doing something. We're doing good. We have this. You see, something like I always say, it's not to sin than to be proud. So this is the beat out that we need sometimes. Because when something bugs us, or something tells us something, or something says something that we don't like, then the pride comes out. You know, and this lady, I have this student that she bought a new car. And she told me that the two kids, she had two little kids, one is 5, the other, no, one's 12, and 7. And they say when they drive with her, they said to her, she just passed the test recently. They said, Mom, we're so proud of you. We're so proud of you now that you have a car and you're driving us. You see, and I'm fellowshipping with her, I'm sharing with her the word, right? And she said, just to make sure don't feed that pride too much. Feed humility. Teach your kids to be humble. That's one thing we have to feed in our kids. That was thing we had to ask the Lord to be, you know, the pride. This pride that we have is, you know, we're born with it. Right? We're born in there. In the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Sometimes we're good, sometimes we're evil. I think we're all good here because, you know, we are in this life. The Spirit living in us. But one thing that we have to press, I tell the Lord to beat up is our pride, our knowledge, our, you know, things that we accomplish, you know. Because look at this, just look at the Lord. Just look at the Lord, how he came. If you look at Isaiah 52, he was the ugliest man on the earth. I was asking Mr. Ping if you would marry Brother Kyle if he was the ugliest man on the world, huh? I don't know. It's very hard to answer, right? I don't think my wife would have married. I mean, but you see, the Lord was the ugliest man in the world. He was this figure. He said his vintage was mare. Right? His body also was this figure, not only his face. right? And look at that. Yeah, he wanted to show us how humble. Yeah, how. But when people look at him, they despise him. And I say, 53 people look at him, despise him. Imagine you being the Irish man. I don't know what this is doing. But they despise him. But when he spoke, when he started speaking, even life, he said, I came to give you life abundantly. You see? Then the people, when they saw the miracle, oh, they believe. And when you go to Exodus in chapter 14, after they cross the sea, you see, and after they cross the sea, after the plagues, they said that they fear God and they believe. After everything they have done, we're like the Israelites. They saw the plagues, they saw the Lord with hands taken out of Egypt, and they still doubt. And in chapter 14, yes, in the end they believe. And then we are just like them. We believe, then we go back with our thing, our pride, our knowledge, our things. But we had to ask the Lord to really be that pride that we have. And make a humble. Especially I tell them, do it with me. Right? Do it with me. Beat me up very hard in that pride. That's why we had to read the word. We had to pray. We had to be. We have fellowship with him all the time. So we can be in the Holy of Holies all the time. And praise the Lord.
Amen.
I just enjoyed on day 5, he said, without the spirit, the soul is dark. It needs the lamp of the Lord. A lamp is for use in darkness because the man has fallen. He is in darkness. The only way to have light is to walk according to the spirit. So when I read the light study, then I realized. So before we were saved, there's only darkness. There's no light at all. But then once you get saved, then you have the light in you. But you need to turn back to your spirit so that you will have the light.
Yes.
And then there was one time when I talked with my sister, then she asked me, how could we love the Lord and love the word? And then I read the light study, then I realized, then they say, you simply need to contact the Lord continually, and the Lord will be your tree of life. As a result, you will spontaneously love the Lord and his word. Your love will be the outflow of touching the Lord as your living source, as your tree of life. When I was loving the Lord and seeking after him as a young person, I had no one who could render such help to me. In the church life today, you are surrounded by brothers and sisters who encourage you to enjoy the Lord as your tree of life. So first of all, right now we are in such a church life, and then we have everyone surrounded us and asks us to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
The Lord's seven eyes are as a flame of fire, watching, observing, searching, and judging by enlightening and infusing us. We, within us, we have two lamps, the sevenfold intensified Spirit of God within our spirit. In order for us to be transformed, we must fully open to the Lord in prayer.
Amen.
To allow the lamp of the Lord with the seven lamps, the fire of fire to search all the chambers of our soul.
Amen.
Shining on and enlightening our inward parts to supply them with life. And in the morning, Lord Rams, it tells me our charred natural life needs to be snuffed so that the shining of the resurrection life in us may be bright and pure.
Amen.
Amen. To have our spirit regenerated is simple. We confess our sins and receive the Lord. Then we have the Spirit of God within. To be transformed in our soul, however, is not easy. It needs the lamp of the Lord to search all the inward parts. There are very few who have opened all their inner chambers to Him. I consider myself one of them. Anyhow, you may love the Lord, you may pray regularly for your children or grandchildren, yet in your soul are two chambers that you reserve for yourself. You keep the Lord locked out of there.
Yeah.
Without the Spirit, the soul is dark. It needs the lamp of the Lord.
Amen.
A lamp is for use in darkness.
Right.
Because man has fallen, he is in darkness. the only way to have light is to walk according to the Spirit.
Amen.
The light searches the inward parts of your soul. The light searches the inward parts of your soul. If you are not in your spirit, you cannot see your true condition.
Amen.
I just pray the Lord, may we open all our inner chambers to you.
Amen.
And receive the Spirit of you, God, within
you. Amen.
You know, I just feel that, you know, our natural life is such a raw material that God cannot use it at all without any bidding. You know, I remember when I had my first car accident, the first car accident I had, that's a long time ago, but I still remember I was so mad at God, and I told God, why you let this happen? That's how immature we are, you know. We blame everything. When we have any little suffering, we blame anything on God. But then through the year, I think God has opened my eyes or my, you know, let me see that suffering, the bitter, is necessary in God's economy. Without it, we become useless in God's eyes. And then I realized, you know, at the beginning of my Christian life, I always take suffering so personally. Like, it's I suffer, you know, it's always I, you know. And why happened to me? Why is I had to be, you know, in this situation? And later on, when I experienced more suffering, I realized it. I don't ask why, I say amen to the Lord, you know, afterwards. And I say, whatever you bring me into, and I thank you for letting me comprehend what Brother Paul said. Participate with Jesus' suffering.
Amen.
If you don't have suffering, you don't know what Christ suffering. You know, there's no way. And then all this bidding is for us to able to empathize with other saints when they are in that situation. If you never experience any suffering, how you can give the saints your to give them any advice, how you experience life, you know, how you experience Christ in the same situation. It's all vain words when you say to them when they are in that situation. But if you go through the same experience, the same situation, you can give them something out of the Christ. Otherwise, you've got nothing to offer them, seriously. And then through the years, I realized all this bitterness, it just have one purpose, is the Christ will gain. We can gain Christ more and more. So I realized this bidding is so wonderful. You know, you would take it as a positive now. You don't take it as like, why did this thing happen to me? And you will take it, Lord, I know I need it. Thank you, you predestinate all this suffering for me. And I know I go through this, and you go through this all with me. And I thank you, you are there for me. So I am able to say a lot of, you know, thank you to the Lord when I suffer a lot of things. And then even the job is sometimes so tough, and I'm able to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, thank you, you know what I'm going through. And then your suffering is really comfort for me, that I am able to enter your suffering and to know what you have experienced, what you have gone through for me. And then, so this become very positive attitude, that when you, in a situation you feel so suffering, you don't even feel pain anymore. It will come with the peace and loving from the God to help you through all the situations. And so I think this bidding is so crucial for God's economy, that without this bidding, there's no way our natural life, God can use us even one bit at all.
Now, we are not encouraging suffering here. Okay? So young people, you know, like my son, for example, haven't gotten into much suffering, my son. Right, but when this suffering, especially the young people, haven't suffered much, but we all gonna get our share, right? We live in an evil world, so the world's gonna make sure that we all go through this. But that's why we got to stay in the spirit.
Amen.
We stay on the realm of the spirit. The suffering won't be hard because we have the peace, because that surpasses any man's understanding. That's what it means. We all gonna get our share, but it's the Lord. If we keep staying in the Lord and the Holy of Holies, we will have no problem.
Amen.
Amen.
I was very touched by this week's message, and actually Carol is sharing about, you know, somewhere in the message it says that, you know, we may have gold, but first of all, we don't have enough of gold, okay? Second of all, we are not formed together. So practically, if you think about this, Carol mentioned about, you know, Kyle's father's door. Actually, you know how the gold can be put together? Actually, it's through fire. Because if the gold, you know, sometimes, I don't know if this happened in this country, but you know, like Kyle's father's door, they sometimes got like some people, they want to sell their gold to the store so that you can resell it. But then when you see the gold that is coming, how do you know that it is true gold? The only way is to burn it, okay? Because if it is a mixture with something else, then after the burning, you will be able to see. So the way to put the gold together is actually through suffering, through the burning. And but I think that, you know, like nowadays, when we hear about this, we are thinking that, what are you talking about? This is old, you know, old fashioned. You know, in the world, if you want to, well, my father is a soldier, so I know how he was disciplined. You know, if you want people to be identical, mm-hmm. in the world, they just force you mm-hmm. to do it, okay? So if soldiers, they want to, you know, walk the same way, you measure each step. Okay, and you change everybody, you know, step by step. You are forced to, you know, it doesn't matter if you are tall or you are short. If that is the measure of one step, you just need to reach that goal. Mm-hmm. But actually, you know, in the church, I think that it's not like this. Mm-hmm. If you see the golden lampstand, you know, in Exodus, there is only one golden lampstand, right?
Amen, yeah.
But in Revelation, there are seven. And it says that the seven lampstands are exactly the same as the unique lampstand.
Amen.
In nature, essence, shape, and in every respect.
Amen.
How do you do that? The only way is through, you know, through the growing. Actually, there's no way that we can become pure except that we come to the Lord. The
Amen.
Lord can purify us.
Amen.
You know, like every day we have like a lot of, you know, thinking in our mind. We have a lot of concepts, and I can testify that when I get older, it's more difficult to drop my concepts. So that means that I really need to spend more time with the Lord. You know. Somewhere in the outline, I was very, very touched. It says that we must be beaten, not individually,
together.
We must be beaten together.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes if we suffer by ourselves, that is fine. You know, I can do it. Okay, I just suffer. But then if we suffer with others, that is really painful.
Yeah.
You know, why can you not do this? We suffer together. Why do you not, you know? But then here it does say that we must be beaten together with others into one entity and blended together through the cross and by the Spirit.
Amen.
I think the two phrases, through the cross by the Spirit, that's really the key, because sometimes we think that we come together, then we blend together. No, not necessarily. Only if we come together, we are blended by the cross and through the Spirit, then Amen. We are truly blended. Yes. Praise the Lord. I hope that we can all be identical,
Amen.
Like the unique lampstand.
Amen.
Unsearchably rich Christ to others and shepherding them for the building up of the body of Christ to consummate the city of God, the wife of the Lamb. And so what stood out to me when I read that was Christ, Christ, and Christ.
Amen.
The super eminent Christ, the all-inclusive Christ, and the unsearchably rich Christ.
Amen.
So what I appreciate seeing was, you know, this lampstand, it's Christ. In Exodus 25, we have Christ as the unique lampstand. And in Revelation, what do we have? We have Christ. We have the seven golden lampstands that are, as Sister Payne was saying, exactly the same in nature, essence, model, shape, and function. And so in day two, it just said, you know, what is the church? It's not enough, or it says, we're not only saying that it's the body of Christ, we have to say it is an exact reproduction of Christ.
Amen.
So I just appreciated that vision of what the golden lampstand is. Today, as the churches, it's an exact reproduction of Christ.
Yes.
And I also appreciate from everybody sharing this lamp, just all the different characteristics of the lampstand. And the same thing, it's like we need to have enough gold. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, if you're being beaten, but there's not enough gold, then it's not being beaten into a golden lampstand. It's not being suffering for nothing, right? And that's kind of the. That's what I always tell the Lord, you know, because I feel like, you know, there's little hammers all the time, and I'm just like, Lord, there needs to be gold,
right?
Otherwise, I'm suffering for nothing,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so I appreciated that, that picture of the beaten gold, it all has to be in one piece. I just appreciate the lampstand is a pure gold.
Amen.
It's
Amen.
The divine nature. There's nothing else added.
Right.
And then the other thing I really appreciated is that here in day two, it says, when we say that we are the church, we have to realize that the church is the reproduction of the Christ and the reprint of the Spirit.
Amen.
We have to be fully in the Spirit. When we were down in Virginia Beach, some of the sisters there, they were reading something from the life study of Genesis, and it was talking about, there was a question, you know, how do we know if we're in the Spirit? And in the life study it says, we just have to be in contact with the Lord all the time.
Amen.
When we're in contact with the Lord, then we are in the Spirit. And that was just such a good reminder, like a practical reminder. We have to be in contact with the Lord.
Amen.
When we're in contact with the Lord and we pass through suffering, then the Spirit has a way to work more gold into us.
Amen.
And finally, I appreciated, I don't remember the last point, but I just appreciated it's that this lampstand is being formed, but it's an exact reproduction of Christ. Today, Lord Jesus, anyways, more gold, more beating, more shaping, and in more expression, the light.
Amen.
I find that even if you try to manipulate your situations, that you don't have suffering because you don't like to suffer, the Lord opens a way for you to receive His dealing and also His supply by adding some suffering into your situation. For me, it's not as big, you know. When Sister Mia was sharing, I was reminded, I rear-ended a Range Rover two weeks ago. Of all the cars to rear-end, and of all the places to rear-end that car. Anyway, I think that I was partially encouraged and discouraged. I'll go with the negative first. I don't know. I feel like my first reaction when something happens like that is that, oh, if I had been, you know, praying more in the car, or if I had been, you know, having my morning revival instead of, you know, listening to NPR and blowing my nose, I wouldn't have rear-ended this car. But then at the same time, I was grateful and encouraged that the Lord is still caring for me and still dealing with me by putting me in situations where I need, oh, Lord. And I'm encouraged that my first reaction was, oh, Lord, and then call my dad. But anyway, and it all worked up. Anyway, I was just reminded through that. I was like, you know, because, yeah, anyway, it really was very silly that because I had the light was green, but I was blowing my nose, so I didn't see her. She was still in front of me. Anyway, okay, that's not important. Speaking of suffering, but real suffering, and why we suffer, and then what Esther was sharing about the matter of being in contact with the Lord. Because oftentimes when the young people would ask me, especially when I was in the training, like, how do I know that I'm in my spirit when I'm trying to, you know, help my friends or minister to my friends? If you're in contact with the Lord, there's a way. And when you're in contact with the Lord, there's a means for the supply to come into what you are doing. So a friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, actually my best friend, she's a very dear believer, she's not in the church life, but she's been going through topical steroid withdrawal because she's been trying to, not use it anymore for her eczema. But that's been causing a lot of really severe reactions with you know, rashes and with itching. And it got so bad that she hasn't been able to get a good night's rest in weeks. So she had to take leave off of work. And so she's been kind of just asking, like, you know, and she's so, I know, it's very, very sweet. She knows that this is from the Lord. But I think she was kind of struggling as to why it was happening and how to get through it. And so I was on the phone with her not too long ago, praying with her and just kind of fellowshipping with her, a little bit with her. And then just letting her know that my prayers for her are not so much. I mean, yes, I'm praying that, you know, she'll get her rest and that she'll not be suffering as much. But at the same time, I'm praying that the supply will reach her where she is.
Amen.
And that the suffering she's going through is going to result in more Christ formed in her being.
Amen.
And so I think in the situation where, like, you're unable to sleep and, like, you have to sleep in a different bed than your husband because your itching is waking him up and all these different things, like, it's really tough, you know? And so, and not being able to work and not being able to, you know, be there for, because she's also a teacher, not being able to be there for her students, it's been a really big suffering and dealing. And my fear is that, you know, like Esther said, if there's no gold there for the beating to beat, then you're, what are you suffering for? And then my other fear was that she mentioned, yeah, you know, we gotta be patient, you know, and, like, you know, long suffering like Job was. And I was like, wait, you know, Job suffered, but also Job, you know, he needed to see, you know, who he was and what he was. But anyway, in my sharing with her, I was just appreciating again that, you know, I can run away from suffering all I want. And the easiest way to run away from dealing with suffering is to run away from the saints. Because when you're not with the saints, then you don't get rubbed as much. So, I think that I was encouraged by her testimony and her experience so far, and encouraged that in my praying for her, the Lord has been showing me more and more, why do we need to be in the church life? Why do we need to go through dealings? Why do you have to rear end a really expensive car? Why do you have to, you know, be struggling with whatever you're struggling with? And then I was visiting a sister who's here from California, visiting her brother in New York, hanging out with her yesterday, and so she was asking, you know, it's been kind of rough. I'm right at that juncture after college, you know, the end of college is coming up, and do I go to the training, or do I go do this? Do I start working? What do I do? And it's been really, you know, I feel like very, very unsettled. And I said, that's awesome, because I also feel unsettled, even though I'm not at that same point. But if we're settled, then why would we open? Or if you don't have these situations, then we don't get to have those specific conversations and experiences with the Lord to come in. I guess I'm praying for more, not for the beating, but I'm praying for more gold.
More gold.
Yes. And I'm praying that I will be open to whatever the Lord is measuring out in the matter of our being beaten together into the lampstand.
Amen.
Amen.
Does anybody else want to share?
I
enjoyed all the sharing there. It's so sweet. I enjoyed from the outline that we need to have a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
So we can see this this picture.
Amen.
We can see the golden lampstand. And then next it goes to say that we need to have subjective experiences.
Yes.
That's another thing.
Yes.
Was opening to me, that because the experiences will, through by having those experiences, we become the expression. Express Christ.
Amen.
as the shining lampstand.
Yes.
And the Lord is walking among the churches, adding the oil.
Right.
So we have to remain in the church life.
Yes.
And whatever we're going through corporately, it's all for the building up.
Yes.
All those experiences, they're going to count towards,
yes,
building up.
Amen.
Being built, blend together with all the saints.
Amen.
To have a corporate expression.
Amen.
I was touched how, as Esther mentioned,
that Roman numeral 1 talks about, the first thing that it mentions is that we need to see this Christ. And as this outline is painting a picture of what the lampstand is, what is its essence, what is its significance, and then at the same time, when you just look at yourself and you just realize, this is not where I am, and this is not who I am.
Amen.
But I appreciate it in the outline, especially under Roman numeral 3. Three and the last Roman numeral, it talks about, who is this Christ? Who is this seven spirit of God? And particularly in point 8, it talks about, I was really touched with it, says, the seven lamps of the lampstand are the seven spirits of God, as the seven eyes of Jehovah, the seven eyes of the redeeming lamb, and the seven eyes of the building stone for the full expression of the triune God. Amen. Which is a mouthful, right? But I was impressed and touched that it's by this spirit and it's by this Christ that he is going to reproduce himself in all the churches.
Yeah. Amen.
Actually, this working out, it talks about, the last point, it talks about how the Lord is maintaining this expression in his heavenly ministry.
Amen.
Because of who he is as the Son of Man, who is walking in the midst of the churches, he Amen. Is able to trim the wicks, he's able to add the oil, he's able to refine his church. And so anyway, I was also, in point 8, it talks about how he's the seven spirits of God searching, right? His eyes are roving over the whole earth. And in a sense, when you look at that, you think, oh, that's really scary. But we can't forget that this is the seven eyes of the redeeming lamb.
Amen.
Right? As he's looking at us, he is the redeeming lamb.
Amen.
But at the same time, he's refining, burning away anything that doesn't match him.
Amen. Yeah.
And at the same time, he's the seven eyes of the building stone for his building, right?
Amen.
So anyway, it's like as we are spending time with this one who is the Son of Man, he is able to accomplish this.
Amen.
And I appreciated the last point of this outline. It says, in order for us to participate in his move and enjoy his care, we must be in the churches. Actually, to enjoy the Lord's cherishing and nourishing, you have to be where the Lord is.
Yeah.
And in Revelations, the words say that he is the Son of Man walking in the midst of the churches.
Amen.
He is in the midst of every situation of the church.
Amen.
He knows exactly what he is doing.
Amen.
He knows how to care for her in the best way.
Amen.
And so for us to be under, fully under this care, we have to be in the right place.
Amen.
And so it's like Esther said, we have to be here, remain here, and continue to come to this one who is able to produce us in such a way.
Amen.
Amen. You know, as I was getting into this week's portion, I was just considering before the Lord how I could enter into this in a practical way. Well, first of all, you know, when you come to this week, do you have a sense of, wow, how can you see all the steps of the new revival in the picture of the lampstand?
Yeah.
Yes.
How many of us actually saw that prior to getting into the messages? I never even contemplated that you could see the high peak of the divine revelation, right? From one lampstand into the seven lampstands,
yeah.
God becoming man so that man may become God in life and nature.
Yeah.
That's in the picture of the lampstand. And then you can see the God-man living being portrayed in all the different details of the lampstand. And then finally, oh, the organic shepherding. How the Son of Man is walking, right, among the churches to trim and add the oil. Wow! Okay, but what really touched me is how practical these messages are. And so I had a little experience of the beading work. You know, the Lord places us with all these different little hammers. I think actually all the brothers and sisters are little hammers, not just our children. And so there was a little incident yesterday, and I was helped to see what had really transpired by my wife. You know, we were about to leave Charlottesville. All the saints wanted to go eat sushi, all-you-can-eat sushi. And the way they do it is you have to order it. So in my back of my mind, I was like, oh, this is going to be slow. Because it's not buffet style. You have to actually order it, right? So initially I didn't want to go, but then, you know, Esther's like, well, you know, everybody's going. I was like, all right, amen, amen. Okay, so we go, we order. And then I figure, well, you know, to save some time, because, you know, we have two little kids. You know, you have to add like 2 hours to, you know, every 4 hours or 6 hours you travel. We need to make lots of stops, and I just wanted to get home early. And so we ordered, and then I was like, okay, let's save some time. I'm going to go get gas, going to buy dinner. I come back, and then the food's not there. And then I realized that, oh, wow, the table behind us, they came after us, and they got their food already. Uh-oh. You know, getting out of my spirit here. And then we found out the waitress gave our food to the brothers. Oh. And then what really went over the top was the brothers didn't even offer to give it back to us. They were just laughing and giggling and like, ha, 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 we're eating shepherd's food. Oh, Lord Jesus. And then there was a certain expression, and some of the brothers picked up on it, and then they were like, oh, shepherd's really mad. And then Esther's like, oh, you know, this is last night. You should have seen the scowl on your face. So I have to apologize to the brothers. If I looked angry, it's because I'm part of this transforming work, and that, you know, we're not there yet. But anyway, that's just a little picture that, you know, through life we go through different, I mean, this is a very silly example of suffering. This is not, you can't compare this kind of thing to what they're going through in the Middle East. But, you know, we go through these situations, right? Because the Lord wants to gain something in us. And of course, I didn't pass the test in that, you know, incident. I didn't handle that situation with grace. There was not the expression of the triune God. There was the expression of, you know, the fallen humanity. But I appreciate it. And we go through all these things for a particular reason. And that's because the Lord wants to gain a golden lampstand.
Amen. Amen.
And what really struck me this week was to see that this is something corporate. We were reading in day three, I just want to read this paragraph again. If you would have the stand, you must be beaten together with others.
Amen.
You need to lose your identification.
Amen.
For you to be spiritual as an end in itself is meaningless as far as the lampstand is concerned.
Amen.
Your experience and enjoyment of God must be beaten together with that of others.
Amen.
Our gold must be put together, beaten, and built up as one entity, as one unit.
Amen.
This really struck me that when we go through sufferings, this is not an individual matter.
Amen.
This is something corporate.
Yes.
How does this really look? I'm not quite sure. I was fellowshipping with Scott. I don't really know what this looks like. But I imagine, you know, as we go through sufferings, it's actually, sometimes it's very easy for us to think, oh, woe is me. I'm the only one in this whole world that's going through this. And then we don't realize that actually the same suffering a lot of people are going through.
Yeah.
And actually this should encourage us to open ourselves to the body. And I think this is very key. Sometimes when we go through things, we kind of shut ourselves up. And we don't realize that actually maybe the Lord is leading us through this period of time so that we can pray with that brother or pray with that sister. Open ourselves to be blended together,
yeah,
together as the body. What two verses really stood out to me, well, I was reminded. And that is from 1 Peter 5:9-10. And this reads, "Him withstand being firm in your faith, knowing that the same sufferings are being accomplished among your brotherhood in the world."
Amen.
You notice the phrase, brotherhood. Brothers and sisters, we are all part of this brotherhood.
Amen.
The same sufferings are being accomplished among your brotherhood. We go through these things in life, and it's not just for us as individuals, but there's a bigger picture.
Amen.
It's for the brotherhood.
Amen.
And then it follows, but the God of all grace, He who has called you into His eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a little while, will Himself perfect,
Amen.
Establish, strengthen, and ground you.
Amen.
When we go through these things in life, when we suffer these things, actually the end result is something is produced. Ministry is produced. And that our sufferings are not just for ourselves, but it's to produce something, and our sister mentioned this, that would really help others, right? It could help perfect people. That means to furnish them, to complete them, establish them, ground them, right? It helps to shape us to become part of the lampstand, right? And so may we all have this corporate view, right? That our sufferings is not an individual matter, but it's a corporate matter.
Amen.
And then finally, I just want to touch really quickly on the organic maintenance. Maybe if we could go to the outline and then just read the points on the Roman numeral 4B. Just that letter, B.
Amen.
We could alternate. Maybe brothers, we could start with point B and then sisters 1.
The outline?
Yeah, in the outline, yes.
What number? Yeah, what
four,
the outline?
On the outline, Roman numeral 4, letter B, Christ, day 6.
Christ
takes care of the churches in His humanity as the Son of Man to cherish them.
Amen. He dresses the lamps of the lampstand to make them proper, cherishing us that we may be happy, pleasant, and comfortable.
The Lord's presence provides an atmosphere of tenderness and warmth to cherish our being, giving us rest, comfort, healing, cleansing, and encouragement. Amen.
We can enjoy the cherishing atmosphere of the Lord's presence in the church to receive the nourishing supply of life.
Amen, brothers. He trims the wicks of the lamps of the lampstand, cutting off all the negative things that frustrate our shining.
Signifies things that are not according to God's purpose, that need to be cut off, such as our flesh, our natural man, ourselves, and our old creation.
Amen. He trims away all the differences among the churches, the wrongdoings, shortages, failures, and defects, so that they may be the same in essence, in appearance, and expression. I was really touched with this section to see that today Christ, as the Son of Man, He is walking among the lampstands.
Yes.
And the significance of Christ as the Son of Man is His humanity. And so we saw from the verses that He was girded on His breast, right? And that means that His trimming, right, His adding the oil, it's all a matter of love, because breast signifies love. So He does all these things in a way of love.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you look from the Word, there are two excellent portions that we really see the Lord Jesus as this shepherd coming to the believers in their downward state. First one is in Luke 24, and then the second portion is John 21. And so in Luke 24, you see, right, those two disciples. And they were, you know, heading away from Jerusalem. And, you know, we don't have time to get into these verses, but I encourage you to read this, you know, on your own. But I just want to point out one thing is that, you know, it's very interesting. They were walking away, and they were talking with one another, and they stood still. In verse 17, they're looking sad, right? And so they were in a depressed situation, heading away from where they should be. And then the Lord was just walking with them, right? Not judging them, not condemning them, not telling them, hey, you guys should be in Jerusalem. What are you doing, right? But He was just conversing with them. And then actually their attitude towards the Lord was very negative because, you know, one of them, Cleopas, was like, you know, because they were asking, do you not know what's been happening? You know, they were discussing, like, what had happened with, with Jesus. And then the Lord was like, what things? And he's like, do you alone dwell a stranger in Jerusalem and not know the things which had taken place in those days? You know, such attitude. Like, you know, what? Are you been living under a rock? I mean, have you not considered? And this is the Lord, right, that they were talking to. And then verse 19, I love the Lord's response. And he said to them, what things, right? This is kind of like when you're talking to children. You know, sometimes they say foolish things, right, out of their emotions and not really understanding. And then the Lord just talked to them, what things? And then, you know, they started expounding and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And then at the very end, though, I really appreciated that, you know, the Lord eventually, you know, and, you know, a lot of times, in my experience with my relationship with my wife, sometimes, you know, she just needs to let it all out, you know, just to talk, right? And my job is not to try to fix the situation, but sometimes I do try to fix it, and then that makes it even worse. But sometimes you just need to, you know, just listen, exactly. Sister Shulan knows, right? It's very experienced. Husbands, we're not good listeners. And so with us and the Lord, it's the same way. Sometimes the Lord just lets us to just, you know, Lord, this, all that, and, you know, just vent it, right? And then at the end, though, you know, this is part of his cherishing. At the end, he started to explain to them clearly in all the scriptures concerning the things concerning himself, right? So he brought them back to the Word. And I really appreciate in verse 32, they said to one another, wasn't our heart burning within us when he was speaking to us on the road? So as we have this transaction with the Lord, he shepherds us, he warms our heart, rekindles our love through the Word, and we are brought back actually to the Lord's presence. And so this is what the Lord does. And in the same way, in John 21, you know, Peter suffered that, backsliding to his old profession. And I was, you have to look into the details, right, of that story. You know, when the Lord called Peter and the disciples back to shore, there was a fire there, right? And what is the fire for? It's to generate warmth. So a lot of times in our depressed situation, when the Lord is calling us, right, he knows our state. And what does he do? He warms our heart first. And then after he warms our heart, there's what? There's fish that's already there cooking. So then he feeds us, right? And then he continues to shepherd us. And this is what he does, right? He gives us a atmosphere of tenderness, a warmth to cherish our being, giving us rest, comfort, healing, cleansing, and encouragement.
Amen.
Sometimes we just need a little encouragement, right? And so the Lord is doing that. And then after all of this, then, you know, he comes to, what, trim the wick. So the Lord asks Peter, do you love me, Peter? Actually, that was a form of trimming, right? Because Peter, in his natural self, told the Lord, I'm not going to, you know, I'll never deny you. But he denied him three times. So this was a gentle reminder, right? And Peter actually, through that failure, realized that I can no longer have confidence in my natural self, right? So he said, Lord, you know that I love you.
Amen.
Lord, you know.
Amen.
I don't have confidence in myself. Lord, you know. And so, brothers and sisters, this is the organic shepherding, right, of the Lord Jesus, right?
Amen.
Whenever we fail, he is the one, right, walking in our midst. And he is the one who is cherishing us, shepherding us back to himself. So that through all our situations that we go through, that the Lord can really gain a bright, shining, golden lampstand.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. In the same way, we need to even in the church life, to even as we're with one another, we should love one another in a similar way. I appreciated that this trimming, the snuffing, was done with instruments made out of gold. It's not something that's natural, but it's something altogether divine. And so we shouldn't think that we have a right to, you know, adjust one another by our natural self. But actually, many times as we're in the meetings, we just get help with one another. Something the brother shares or a sister mentions, something from the Word it just shines on us. And that little word just is able to penetrate us and adjust us. This is what it means to really perfect and adjust one another. So, I'm just full of encouragement, even though, you know, none of us are there yet. But the Lord has placed us here all together with one another sovereignly. We're not here to, you know, beat each other up, but we're actually here to encourage one another, right?
Amen.
And we're here to perfect one another so that we could all arrive at the same state, which is the golden shining lampstand for His expression. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh. Thank you for your word, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you because you are the lampstand.
Amen.
You can shine through us.
Amen.
Oh, thank you because your beating is for the growing up of the church.
Lord. Amen.
Be the new Jerusalem.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, for this week coming, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you for you're going to shine on us so the others can see it.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing for us.
Amen.
Amen.
Every church is a lampstand.
Amen.
Strengthen us
in
you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
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 Right.
Jesus, we thank you for all this sharing.
Amen.
All this encouragement.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, we also thank you for the corporate suffering.
Amen.
Keeping us into one piece.
Amen.
One golden lampstand.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for the portrait of the golden lampstand.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen. Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Lord Jesus, thank you for this picture.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We give this upcoming week to you.
Amen.
We want more gold in our being.
Amen.
Amen. Say amen to you.
Amen. Jesus.
Right. Lord, I pray that you will continue to speak to each one of us.
Amen.
Keep us in the church life.
Amen.
Bring ourselves back to you, Lord.
Amen.
We want to be open.
Amen.
This coming week.
Amen.
We want to experience you more.
Amen. That's right.
Yes, give the coming week to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, may all the saints eating and drinking of you.
Amen.
Have more gold essence into us.
Amen.
We also need a beaten walk.
Amen.
Exactly.
Amen.
Lord, so your building can be a fastened.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord.